Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
¿Para qué quieres tortillas si estás comiendo espagueti, pendejo?
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
Hi, how are you, Babelito?
Very good.
Oh,
awesome.
So, how you been, man?
I have been really good. This week in Vegas has been very stimulating and very interesting, to say the least.
Lots of ups and downs. So, what are we grubbing on today, man?
I am eating a torta cubana, which...
Azúcar!
Yeah. It's everything but cubana.
Yeah.
It seems like border food. It has... A ver, I'm going to open it, right?
Okay.
So there's mayo.
So what is a torta, just in case some of our listeners don't know?
A torta is a sandwich with better bread. That's it.
Okay, it's a Mexican sandwich. Gotcha. Yes.
So it has pickle jalapenos, tomatoes, lettuce. It has ham. It has carne asada. It has...
Are you talking into the mic?
Yes.
Or,
okay, it has bologna. Checking. And he has...
You're still not, but okay.
And he has weenie.
What weenie? Hot dog?
Hot dog, yes. And refried beans.
Mm, so it's like a take on a Cubano sandwich.
Oh, wait, but no, it's not carne asada. It's, ¿cómo se dice? Milanesa. Like empanizada.
Breaded meat.
Mm.
Yeah, it's delicious. And I got a gringa, which I don't know what it is. It's like a... It's two flour tortillas with cheese and then al pastor on top of it.
You know, in Central Mexico, they call it gringa because it's a flour tortilla.
Not corn. Mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah. So it's just like a really, it's a taco with cheese and flour tortilla.
So it's basically people in Central Mexico saying that flour tortillas are not Mexican enough. They're like gringas. That's why. Mm-hmm. But little do they know that there's a whole culture of flour tortillas in Northern Mexico.
Olé.
Caso cerrado.
Okay.
Así es.
So, we're kind of in the time machine right now because, as most of you know, Babelito is finishing his dissertation in...
New Mexico.
Albuquerque. And so we take advantage of him being here in Las Vegas. So we're recording this probably a couple months before you're hearing it. So we're still like...
No, it's not going to be that long.
We're still on cloud nine because we hung out with Tamarindo Podcast. We even met with Super Mamas. We were in...
Their awesome restaurant.
In Southern California. Went to Galaguetza, and the food was incredible. What did you have over
there?
Well,
first, we sat down, and then they brought these totopos, or these chips, with yellow mole, right? Uh-huh. And it was amazing. And then I had chile relleno, and it had like tinga. It was just chicken, and it was
there was
the
a
best
lot of,
chile relleno.
There was a lot of flavors. I had a taco de barbacoa, and it was the bomb.
It was amazing.
And can I tell you how I was low-key, high-key, starstruck when I saw Bricia and Paulina? Because, you know, they're a big deal.
Yeah.
They're not even kind of a big deal. They're a big deal. And I was just like, hi. But it was so cool. They sat down with us, and they were building a Day of the Dead altar at the time.
That was really cool.
So they were really busy, but it was still really great to connect with them. And hopefully we're going to record an episode with Super Mamas next year, next year, when we all have time and
that's gonna
we
be
are
fun.
Able. Yeah, that'll be really super cool. So thank you, Super Mamas.
Gracias.
That was so cool. And then while we were out there, also shout out to our friend Jasmine, who showed us around a little bit in LA, and we connected with her.
And we would drink coffee in a place.
Oh my God. We went to this hipster breakfast place called...
Plastic with a K.
Paper and plastic with a K. Esos pinches güeros, man. They all had stank face. Oh my God. Oh my God. I just remembered. Okay. The barista estaba bueno, pero he was still... He was such a bitch, like, so
bueno.
But, so, he, there, okay, so we walk into this place, and all the little tables, the, Okay, first of all, it's all like reclaimed wood and Edison bulbs, you know.
Sorry. Steampunk realness.
No, it's not that steampunk, but it's a reclaimed building. And there's these little plaques on the tables that say...
Community tables.
Leave your laptops in your bags. And I'm trying to upload the Tamarindo podcast episode that I just edited. So I just like need to load it on the website.
You just needed Wi-Fi.
And I opened the laptop and put it on the table because it was the only one with like four seats. And the guy's like, excuse me, that's a community table. You can't have a laptop on there. I'm like, I bought coffee. I'm buying food. I can't have my fucking laptop on here. I'm sorry. Oof.
And then Fabi's like, primero se llevan nuestros edificios y luego nos dicen qué hacer.
He was so pissed. But anyway, the coffee was the bomb, though, I will say. It was really good.
And we had a really cool conversation with Jasmine. So it was
awesome. And the food was good. Those eggs were organic, bitch.
Although I have to say, I've never eaten a burrito with a fork and a knife. So that was annoying.
That was your choice.
No.
Choices. So... Choices and chismes here. So we... and then before that, we met Luis from Tamarindo Podcast.
What happened? Oh, my God. Okay, so we arrived, and he was the best host ever. We arrived, we had presents, and it was amazing. And I'm going to post... probably by now, you already saw some of the pictures of some of the awesome products from Mercado LA that he's putting together, and the hats are off the hook. But anyway, so you'll see some of those pictures in my personal Instagram, and I'll post some also in the Latinos Who Lunch. But we arrived there, and I'm just going through my Instagram, and I see that Julieta Venegas, one of my favorites, she posted, oh, I'll see you all tonight in Anaheim. And I'm like, fuck. We're in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all, right? And then we got in the car with Luis, and Luis is like, what are you guys going to want to do? And I'm like, oh, you know, Julieta Venegas is in town. I don't have money for the fucking ticket, but I just said that. And he's like, oh, let me make a couple of phone calls.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
And he's like, okay, so we all have tickets, and we're gonna go to the greet and meet. And I was like,
meet and greet,
whatever. You don't even know what that. And anyway, so... I was like, oh, my God. Okay, people need to understand this. One of my first concerts was a Julieta Venegas concert with Aurora La Academia and Eli Guerra. It was like the Lilith Fair of the late 90s in Mexico.
I'm going to admit I had no idea who she was.
Yes.
So, and
I had to educate him, like a crash course on Julieta Venegas for like 2 minutes.
Well, because we're doing the meet and greet, I was going to get to meet her, and I didn't want to be like... What if she asked me a question?
So we were both freaking out, but for completely different reasons.
I was freaking
reasons.
Out because I was going to, I didn't want to meet her and be disrespectful. And then Pablito was freaking out because it's his idol and he's going to have
20 years.
He was going to have a fucking heart attack. He's like, feel my chest. I can't believe I'm going to meet Julieta Venegas. And I was like, Julia, what?
Doña Julia.
Doña Julia.
And he kept saying things like, I'm going to tell her, I loved your movie with Matthew Perry.
I loved you in Fools Rush In. Oh my God, Miss Venegas. I really loved you in the film Frida. That was really beautiful. And I really...
Stupid. But anyway, so I got to meet her. I told her that I'm very appreciative of 20 years of amazing music. And she was like, ay, qué lindo. But the best part is coming up. So what did you say, Bobby, to Doña Julia?
First of all, it was really cool. Like, we went backstage or whatever. Or it was the back of the parking lot behind the backstage.
It was sketchy.
She's like, I don't want these motherfuckers ruining my energy. Don't let them in my dressing room. So we were, like, super sketch in the back.
She but glowed.
There was all these people there, like 20 people. And they had us go in pairs. And then we let Babelito go by himself, me and Luis, because
it was my moment.
Because it was his moment. So he went by himself and he had his little moment. And then
don't belittle it.
Sorry, he had his grand moment. And she looked beautiful. She was kind of in this like black jumpsuit, and then over it she had this teal like Mrs. Roper shawl thing that was like but modern, right? It was like a square one.
It was beautiful.
And so it was kind of like a flowy dress. And then she had her Frida flowers in her hair.
She had flowers in her head.
Not Frida. I know, but I'm just saying. So she was, oh my gosh. So I go up to her. Or Luis says something. Luis says something. I don't know. I blacked out. But I didn't know what to say. So I just said, estoy muy, muy excited. I don't know what else to say. And she was just like, she said the same thing to me. She's like, ay, qué lindo. And then she patted me on the back.
She did not get that reference at all.
No, she was just like, can you please? I'm trying to do a concert. And we were the last two to meet her. So she was over it.
That's why I didn't ask her for an autograph. I really want her, but she looked like, I'm over it. I want to play and get out of here.
Yeah.
So.
But, okay, so then we saw the show and it was, you know what? She gained a fan. Yo soy fan.
Soy tu fan.
Soy tu fan. So I always fucked that up. Soy tu fan. So, you know, it was a little rough at the beginning because the
music. Because you were not drunk enough?
No. But you know, she played her greatest hits at the end.
Yes.
So, like, all the first songs to me kind of sounded the same.
Yeah.
No tea, no shade. But the you know, I really enjoyed the message. I was really, for you, for the moment, I was really trying to connect with her on stage. Like, I was,
ay, qué lindo.
Te ves bien.
Ay, tú también.
Gracias.
De nada.
So, I don't know. This is my new tactic because you guys that listen to the show know that I hate concerts and music festivals. But now my new tactic is to try to make eye contact with the artist the whole time. And that keeps me engaged in the concert.
Ah.
And like keeps like makes me I listen to the words they're saying.
I didn't know about this new tactic.
Well, that's what I did for the Julieta Venegas show and it worked.
Did she make eye contact with you?
I don't know. Probably not. But like it was just like something to keep me entertained.
Okay.
Right? Because the music wasn't. So... Sorry.
Estúpida. Igualada.
But we had so much fun. We got really drunk. Thank you, Luis Fernando, for all the beers.
It's like, oh, aquí está otra. And there's like, another one. I was going to the bathroom.
Chug,
he's like,
chug.
I got another one for you. It was awesome.
Okay. And then I have to tell another thing that happened at this concert, which was surreal.
It was so weird.
So this girl comes up to us. This woman.
To you.
This lady. You were, porque
yo estaba meando.
Yeah, you were in the bathroom. But she goes, she comes up to me and she's like, hey, can I hear your voice? And I was like, hi, how are you? Latinos who lunch? Fabi Fa?
Did she say, are you a Latino that lunches?
Yeah, something like that. And I was like, yes. I was like, hi. And I just go, hi, I'm Fabi Fa. And she goes like, oh my God. She's like, I'm double starstruck right now.
I know. She told me the same thing.
So then when Babelito came back from the bathroom.
She ran to me and gave me a big hug.
I grabbed Babelito and I pushed him towards her. And she just like gave him the biggest hug. And shout out to our number one fan, Nayel.
Number two, because my cousin is
number
one.
Number two, sorry.
Seda. Shout out.
Shout out. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And her sister was there.
And her husband
or boyfriend or whatever.
They were amazing.
They were
awesome.
The nicest fucking people. And I never had that experience. So I didn't know. I was just like, yeah, connect with us after the show and let's like exchange information and take pictures. And then Luis was like, After the show, vengase pa acá. So we all kind of partied together during the concert.
By the end of the show, they play Juan Gabriel songs, and I have it on video.
Oh,
we're like, dime cuando tú.
We had a blast. So,
muchas gracias, Luis. That was
an
excellent, excellent 2 days, and thank you so much.
It was beautiful.
But what else did we do?
Oh, so while we were in LA, we wanted to see the movie Moonlight. Because it was recommended to us by a bunch
super
of people.
Super hyped, yeah.
And it just came out. So on Wednesday or Thursday, it doesn't matter what day, I don't know what I'm saying. But one of the days that we were there, we went to the matinee at the ArcLight, that beautiful old Hollywood theater, and saw it. Because it's only playing in selected theaters right now.
Yeah, like three cities by the time I think it's now, by the time this episode comes out, it's nationwide.
Yeah.
But that week was only like two or three cities.
Yeah.
And the previews just look stunning. And I was like, okay, we gotta watch this movie. And it just worked out that it was coffee and then the movie and then a little bit of gallery. and then we met Super Mamas. But we decided to go see this movie, and it didn't disappoint. It was amazing, and it was because we saw the movie that we decided to do this episode to start to talk a little bit about gay films.
Yeah, it was that movie was really good. Like I didn't know what to expect. I knew that it was a black movie, like all the characters in the movie were black, mm-hmm. but I had really no expectations. I just heard it was a beautiful movie.
I did. Like I think that's probably why, I mean, I loved it, right? It was, yeah. It's a great film, but because it was so hyped that it didn't live up to those crazy hypes, but I cannot recommend it enough. It's a great film.
So just not to spoil it, or I don't really know if there is spoilers for the movie, but there really isn't, but you know, it's a coming of age story, mm-hmm. of this young boy, right? And it's kind of three acts or three parts of his life. It's split up to his childhood when he's little, and then him as a high school teenager, and then him as an adult dealing with his identity, right? Finding himself. It's a coming of age story, right? So,
and it takes place in Florida,
in Liberty City, in Miami.
In the '80s during the crack epidemic.
Well, the beginning is the first part,
but it really shows you how it trickles down for decades. Everything that happened in his neighborhood, and it was so well set up. A friend of mine told me, she said, "You need to tell me if it ends in a good note." I'm like, "I'm not gonna tell you the end." And she's like, "I'm not gonna see another black tragedy, so you need to tell me how it ends."
So that's what I was afraid of. Like, as soon as, so there's a father figure in the movie, and as soon, because the kid doesn't have a dad, right? Which is the story of a lot of people in the hood, right? Like me, for example. I mean, I had a stepdad, so I was lucky enough to have that. But he's dead. He's still alive. He's dead to me. Anyways, just kidding. So
Let it out.
I know. I gotta go to therapy for that. But there was a lot of moments in the movie where, based on a lot of other black movies that I've seen,
it started to get predictable.
I was like, oh my God.
Here we go.
Why is that kid in that car with that stranger? Oh, fuck. Something really awful is going to happen.
Yeah.
So that was the tension that I had. But then it didn't happen. It was like, oh, this is... For you to see a film with all people of color where there's no tragedy, there's no trauma porn happening... It's just a film. It's exactly. Just a beautiful film.
Not only that, it to portray black masculinity and sexuality in a non-threatened way was so fucking refreshing.
Ooh.
I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years of the same stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
And for this film to come in and sort of break those in the most elegant, beautiful way, it was refreshing. So even though some of the dialogue was a little cheesy for me, but
what, girl?
It was. But
barely dialogue in the movie.
Yeah. But at the end, it was. I loved it. I championed this.
It comes to Las Vegas, I'm gonna watch it again and again.
I'm waiting for it to go to Albuquerque. I'm gonna watch it again as well.
And I love. I mean, it was definitely a black film that wasn't a black film. You know what I mean? That was really cool, like you said, and refreshing.
And it's also a gay film.
And it's a gay film.
Like all the shout outs to Almodovar. There were several
Tell me about that, because I know Almodovar, and I could see the art, like some of the scenes were beautiful, and I could tell the lighting was referencing something else.
Yes, some of the lighting definitely referenced Pedro Almodovar. Uh-huh. The close-ups of the kitchen scene, that's Penelope Cruz cutting tomatoes right there. And for those of you know, Pedro Almodovar is a Spanish filmmaker. He's been making films since the 70s, and his films have been quoted for decades now, and he's never been afraid of talked about different gay scenes, right?
Yeah.
In Spain, which resonate around Latin America. So he's very important gay filmmaker, and you can see that in that scene. And at one point, Paloma Negra, which is saying originally, the most famous version is by Chavela Vargas, mm-hmm. but in Talk to Her, it's sang by Caetano Veloso, a Brazilian singer, and it's a cappella. And that's one scene from Talk to Her. And you see, you hear that song in one of the scenes.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
In Moonlight. And I remember that the bass started boom. And I just looked at Justin and I was like, oh, shit. Because that you hear that version of that song and muerto completamente.
Yeah.
So he was not hiding the fact that he was saying that he was influenced by Pedro Almodovar. So he made it everything, right? He made it a black film. He made it a gay film.
Yeah.
And it was great.
You know what was crazy? Like I was expecting the gay stuff to really affect me in the movie, like emotionally, right?
Ya
estaba listo para chiar. Like, I was like, I got a whole giant thing of popcorn. I'm like, I'm going to eat my feelings the whole time and just drink Diet Coke.
He said one seat apart from me because he didn't want me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to need a chair between us because I'm going to need.
But first he's like, I don't want to see this movie with you. I'm like, why? He goes, porque voy a chillar.
But it was amazing to see it because I related more to like the scene. I'll just describe one of the scenes. Like the scene where the boy takes a bath, like, and you know, they have to heat, there's no hot water. So like he had to heat up a pot of water to heat up the bathtub, you know, like that little scene, like anybody that was born with, you know, in poverty knows that and knows that life. Like we have to do so much just to take a bath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I really love that scene. And then what really got me was the scene with the Janelle Monáe's in the movie.
Oh.
And then the father.
She's perfection, man.
Whoo, that got me. That was great.
That was a
really great scene because there was, yeah.
But this is something that bugs me about hyping this type of movies, right?
What?
Everybody is expecting this romantic idea about certain things. So it's like, oh, you're going to cry. Oh, I just saw the preview and I cried. And it's like, you're making something out of it that is not necessarily it. This was a real film.
Yeah.
And so I think we both went to the movie theaters expecting this moment of release. And but it was better than that.
Yeah, because you know what? I actually got more emotional after I watched it because I revisited the trailer just because I just wanted to see something, part of it again, you know, because I just kept thinking. I'm still thinking about it today.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw it, what, like 4 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
And watching the trailer after I saw the movie, after I saw the movie, I had more time to think about what I just had seen.
Yeah.
You know, and it really It struck a chord when I was watching the, like, it really got me at that moment. And I was by myself
and that's
in the dark eating hot Cheetos. So.
But that's when you know that's a good movie, when it lingers, right?
It
just keeps going and going. Because there's certain movies that you get the immediate satisfaction and it's great and it's big and bold and then it's over.
Yeah.
But this type of films that just keep going and going and going.
So, I mean, I got back and I've been so busy, but I really, after seeing this movie, I wanted to search for others like it. You know, I wanted to see if I could. It really got me thinking. Like, I need to really. There's all these really great Latino, queer, or movies with people of color in them that are also coming of age stories and, you know, relatable in that way. A lot of really beautiful movies on Netflix, for example.
Yeah, Netflix has some great gay films.
This weekend was Netflix and chilaquiles for me because I remember. So let's get into it. Let's get into Netflix because, you know, this is not a commercial for Netflix. Netflix, if you want to give us money, we're going to give you a fucking huge shout out right now.
We'll open.
So we're latinoswholunch@gmail.com. That's our PayPal also. We accept any cash, check, money order,
lo que sea, coupons de Walmart,
Bitcoin,
vamos a la Walmart,
vamos a la Walmart, Apple Pay, whatever. Anyway, so you recommended a movie to me a while back, and you give me readings and movies all the time, and I never watch them. But I was really
and music.
I never will listen to any fucking shit you recommend. Sorry, but. Didn't Anderson .Paak just come out with a new album, by the way?
It's a collaboration.
Oh, okay.
I need to think of the name.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Netflix. So you were telling me about this movie.
Yes, the movie is called Viva, because I've been seeing how people got about Moonlight. I think I got about Viva. So I've been seeing the previews for Viva for a while, and it's this Cuban film, and I didn't know exactly what it was about. I just know that there were drag queens involved in Cuba, and I was like, I need to see this film.
See, you didn't tell me there was drag queens in it, bitch.
No, because...
If you would have told me there was drag queens in it, I would have watched it months ago.
I'm like, you have to watch... Because I wanted to describe the last scene so bad to you, because it's just so powerful. But anyway, oh my God, a lot of... ¿Cómo se dicen? Spoiler alerts. But
spoiler, yeah.
Sí, lo dije. Yeah. Mírala, no, me quiere corregir.
No, I don't want to correct you. I just wanted to make a joke, but it didn't come out because.
Okay, porque estás en el teléfono. Anyway,
I'm looking at my Netflix and chill list. Next Netflix and chilaquiles.
So
bitch.
I've been watching this previous, right? And I've been waiting, and I thought it was gonna come out in the movies, but of course, you know, this is probably for some people not good enough to come out in the movies.
What?
I know it never came out. It went directly from film festivals to Netflix, but yeah. that's fine with me. And my husband is the one who texted me. I was in Albuquerque, and he said, "When you are
husband,
here, yes,
oh,
I was. ¿Cómo se dice? Me aconsejaron. What do you say? Aconsejaron.
I was advised.
I was advised to call my dude, which I've been with for 15 years. My husband, not my dude.
Who or told
my
you? Boyfriend. Oh,
Bricia. Bricia is like, why do you call him your dude? Like, why do you call him your boyfriend? He's basically your husband, so yes. So my husband advised me. He's like, we gotta watch this movie together. Because for a while, we were like Netflix and chilaquiling, you know?
Yeah.
We were watching gay films like three times a week. And we watch shit from all over the world. And that's the beauty of Netflix. So we watched it and we were not disappointed. It's a beautiful film. And I want to tell you all about it, but I can't. The only thing I can tell you is about this 17-year-old kid in Havana who has no family. We don't understand really what happens. We know that
his father left when he was young.
And the mom died.
And the mother died. So he's left in this apartment and has befriended a lot of the older women in his neighborhood.
And he does hair.
And he's a hairdresser.
And las pelucas de las reinas.
And, I mean, to make money also, he
hustles.
He hustles a little bit, but...
But they make you show you that...
You don't know that until later in the movie.
Yeah, but also, it is through the gay club scene that he steps away from the hustling, right?
Yes.
And that saves him. And at one point, I mean, he doesn't have a name for his drag persona, and he sees a magazine and he's like, oh, I'm Viva. And Viva really brings him back to life.
And
it's incredible.
The drag queen, the mother of the house. Of,
she's everything.
Her name is just Mama, right?
Yeah,
like they just call her Mama.
Uh-huh. No, Mama.
Oh my God. It's a great movie. And
it is one of the best.
I'm going to watch it again. It was that good.
It is one of the best Latin American gay films, because for a long time we had nothing, right? And I even remember even 90s and 80s, gay films were even almost like a joke. Like they were, I don't remember any like transformative gay films.
Yeah. And it's always like the cover is like two dudes sitting on a bench with a woman in between.
Without
them.
A t-shirt.
No, with a woman in between them, and they're like holding hands behind her. Like, you know what I mean? How many times have you fucking seen that?
Oh my God. Ugh. Way too many times.
Like, this was so nice because there was no like, that kid has been gay since he was born. Like, obviously.
Right. And
he is so, I mean, he's so fierce. Like just the way that I love that kid. Like the way that he walks and he sits. Like everything about him is like a drag queen. Like, and he what? And
but without being
before. Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And that's funny about those covers. It always, for a long time, it seemed like gay films used the female characters as an object for coming out or to resolve their own gender identity issues, right? And it's a problem. It's a big problem that it's almost like we never really talked about, but that was something that you see over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But for me growing up, besides Almodóvar was a huge help for me because I was working out ideas about identity, and then looking at Almodóvar films, it was like, shit, like everything is so much more complicated, and there's so much more out there about being queer that I don't know that I haven't been exposed to. But this is why I love Almodóvar for that same reason, because every single movie, there's always a very, very complex character that you as like Moonlight, you think about it for months and months and months and months. It's wonderful. One movie I can think about is Y Tu Mamá También. And that's not even really a gay film. Yeah. But because of the last scene, then it makes you think that that's a gay film. That was the closest, I think, for my generation or even a generation before mine, growing up with a gay film, right? A gay Mexican film. But other than that, and Almodóvar, I cannot think of others. I'm coming from the Latino or Latin American perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know about in the States if you can think of others.
What?
Other gay films.
There's a lot.
But like something that really grabbed your attention as a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, Tu Wong Fu, it's always a joke, you know what I mean? It's not like somebody's actual story, you know? Mm-hmm. I think back in the 90s, it was always these jokes, these joke movies. So I'm glad to see that now there's...
For white straight entertainment, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. White straight entertainment, for sure. But yeah, there's so many great movies out there now, and there's so many lists. Like if you Google it, locas, like you can find so many. Google it, locas. You can find a lot of really awesome movies. Netflix is always changing their shit. Can I just, if there's somebody from Netflix listening, stop taking Paris is Burning off of Netflix. Put it on and then they take it off. Like it's a fucking classic. I don't know. Maybe it's the rights with some of the music in the movie or something. But if you're a homosexual and you don't know, you haven't seen Paris is Burning, or if you're like a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and you
haven't seen
Paris. And once you watch Paris is Burning, you will understand that everything that comes out of RuPaul's mouth and all the queens on the show is derived from that movie.
Yes.
Like, you thought everything was so original, and then you hear these queens in the 80s saying all this shit, so...
And you're like, mwah, mwah, mwah.
No, I mean...
No, it's great, it's great.
It's a wonderful documentary that was made in the 80s, and it follows... Paris is Burning follows around all these people that were involved in... All these queers that were involved in the New York ball scene.
Brown.
Queers. Black and brown, yes. So there's a lot of... wonderful lines from that movie, like touch this skin, honey, touch all of it, stuff like that. It's really good.
But you told me you watch other films in Netflix yesterday.
Oh my god. I was up till like 4 a.m. because I just could not get enough. I started watching this this one called Cuatro Lunas, like Four Moons or something.
From where?
It's on Netflix.
It's
multiple countries.
Like, oh, okay.
There, it follows four characters around, like a little boy who's going through the biological change of life. And then there's like an older man who's a professor that's been closeted there. And then there's this like Argentinian couple. And then there's a couple from Mexico, I think, or something that are like best friends that end up falling in love.
Oh, cool.
So there's four stories, but after watching Viva and the cinematography of that film,
which is flawless,
I only watched a few, like maybe 20 minutes of it.
Okay.
I got where it was going.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie, and it's a little porny actually. Like if you like want to watch some soft porn, like
watch Cuatro Lunas.
That's so fucked up to say. But like in the first 10 minutes, I was like, okay, I guess we're seeing everybody's asses. Awesome.
Which is the beauty of both Viva and Moonlight,
right? We didn't
see
any dicks or ass. Oh, wait, we did see a dick in the beginning of Viva. Get ready for that.
That's right.
But that was beautiful.
Yes. I forgot it. See?
But it was just like...
It's so normal, right?
Well, I love that they did that in Viva because it was like, we're just going to get this out of the way. And boom.
And then boom.
And the first, like, whatever. It was great. It was funny. Wonderful.
That's true.
But then that's
true.
It. You're right. So yeah, if you wanna watch something a little more más sexy, watch Cuatro Lunas, and then I watched a movie that I really got into that I loved, which is a Brazilian film mm-hmm. called The Way He Looks. It's a story about these Brazilian kids, and I think they're in high school, and it starts with this boy who's blind. He's maybe like 15, 16, mm-hmm. and his best friend, who's a girl. So it's like Leonardo, and her name is Giovanna, I think, or something. And all the kids are awful, right? Like, mm-hmm. I was a middle school teacher. They're the fucking worst. So this kid's blind, and his best friend is this girl that he grew up with, and they're both, like, they've both gone through puberty, right? And they're the girl's kind of falling for this blind kid that she helped her whole life.
Yeah.
But he can't see her. And then it also happens that he's also queer and he doesn't know. So there's all these bullies in the film also that are bullying the blind kid because he's an easy target and he's this nice kid. And then all of a sudden comes this guy, an exchange student, I think, this mm-hmm. new kid to the school. His name's Gabriel, and he's like very handsome, tall, curly hair. All the girls want him. But there's also something different about this kid, right? And they're assigned, it's a total high school movie, but it's beautifully shot. Yeah. I will say, like, I related to, like, it took me back to high school. I actually related to the girl in the movie the most. Like, that was me. Like, oh, cool, everybody's just falling in love all around me, and I'm just here by myself. So, anyway, it's great. There's, like, there's a lot of really awesome scenes in it, and, you know, because it's these two boys that don't, I love the dynamic of, mm-hmm. like, this kid who's, like, hot stuff and new to the school, and everybody wants to be his friend. And then he ends up being friends with, because they're assigned to a class project together.
Uh-huh.
They end up becoming really good friends. And the blind kid just falls in love with his personality and with him without even seeing him, right?
Correct.
And then this kid falls in, it's like the same, it's blind love, right? Or whatever. So uh-huh. it's like, it's,
and it,
there's a real, there's some really great scenes in it that, that I can't, I really relate to. I'll just say that.
What's the name of the movie again?
It's called The Way He Looks, I believe.
I don't know if I can watch it. Anything.
Why?
Because there's blindness in it. And that's my biggest fear.
What do you mean?
Anything, like, it's, no, I can't. I just, losing my sight, it's my biggest fear besides.
Well, and that's what I love about, that's what I love the movie too, is that's the issue also, because the kid's parents are so protective mm-hmm. because he's blind, and he's like, I'm my own person. Like, it's him also growing out of that stage of his life where his parents, so there's a lot of moments of where he's on his own and he has to figure out what he's doing, where he is.
Yeah.
And can you imagine being a teenager, like already as a teenager, as a gay teenager, you're fucking lost in the world. You think you have nobody. Mm-hmm. And then to add blindness on top of that.
Yeah.
Fuck. Right. I don't think.
I'm going to watch it though, but.
Yeah. And when I say Brazilian, it's, let's keep it 100%, 100. It's all white people. White Brazilians.
White Brazilians,
so
of
just
course.
Get ready for that. But.
Which reminds me of another Brazilian movie that I watch as part of the Southwest Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, which is a festival that has been taking place in Albuquerque, I think, for 14 years now. Shout out to the Southwest Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, which are amazing.
Woo, woo.
Every year they keep putting more and more amazing movies too. I think this year they receive something like 400 or 600 films that they had to review, and then they finally chose like a couple of dozens, and that's it. And it is wonderful. It takes place in the Guild Cinema by the university. It's a small theater, and it's just one movie after another, and they're all great. But I was able to see one movie, a Brazilian movie called Don't Call Me Son.
Uh-huh.
Mm, but it's not a gay film. Because it is about coming of age, also, like, it's a threat right here. Like, mm-hmm. throw a little bit of bullying, throw a little bit of discovering yourself sexually when you're in high school, and boom, you got the perfect gay film, right? But this is more complicated because this kid likes to dress like a girl. but they never really identify him as anything. He's not, he's not really gay. He's not really a cross dresser. He's not really transsexual. They really, there's no full on boxing of this character. So the whole entire time you don't understand what's happening, but this is happening to this character at the same time that you realize that his mother is not really his mother. So he ends up going to a new family, which is his real family. It's a total mess.
Whoa! Is it new? Did it just come out?
It is now in film festival. Oh, so I'm cool. Assuming I don't know if I don't think it's on Netflix or anything, but it should be coming out soon. And it's interesting because, again, it seems like a new trend in gay films that being gay is not at the forefront, it's the most important part of the plot, right? It's just one out of many different complicated levels of this very complex characters, which is what we need in gay films, which, as you said, like with a typical, like two guys falling in love behind the wife, that's something that they didn't offer.
Yeah.
So good. Again, it's called Don't Call Me Son. Because if I tell you one more thing about this film, I will ruin everything. So I can really keep going.
Where did you see it?
I saw it in the Gay Film Festival.
Can't really Netflix and chilaquiles with that one.
But it's okay.
It reminded
me because you said Brazilian. But also it's full of white Brazilians. And oh man,
there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. It's just nice to see a little diversity here and there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I have a lot. There's now that I've gone on this journey into Netflix, there's so many other films that I need to see, and I put a lot on my list. Of course, if you don't know, there's the Celia Cruz soap opera that came out.
Wait.
They just released it. They just released it on Netflix, so you can watch it on Netflix. In the US, I don't know where you're listening, because I know we have some friends in Colombia, and I think somebody in Switzerland listens to the show, so shout out to you. But maybe they were just like in a plane.
And they're like, oh, this is not good. Next.
They're like, next. There's a lot of really cool stuff on Netflix. Cristela Alonso, you know, the comedian, she tried to do a sitcom, or she did do one season of her sitcom, Cristela, which I really enjoy. She's a normal, like, no shade to Cristela, but she's like not the average movie star looking person.
It's not
so, like go ahead.
What you're trying to say, she's not the stereotypical chichona nalgona Sofia Vergara. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a couple of those people on that show because they need that, but she's like, she looks like one of my cousins, and she had her own fucking TV show. Like, that's fucking cool.
That's why I love Jane the Virgin. When I saw Jane the Virgin, I'm like, that's my sister. Like, that's Crystal. Like, that's so many people that I know. And I, even though a lot of people have their issues with that show.
I tried to get into it. I maybe saw the first season, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. And because the name of it, you already are like, oh. And then it's like,
pretty funny, though.
It's pretty funny and it's very cute.
Yeah.
And
shout out, Carmen Carrera was in the first episode.
Oh, yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she works in that hotel.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, when I started watching it, I was having, like, this really stressful week because of an article that I was writing. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't wait to get to bed, open my computer, and just, like, talk to Jane. Like, she became my friend for, like, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And again, it's super soap opera and cliche, but they don't try to hide that. They're like, this is going to be this big-ass fucking cliche about Mexican soap operas.
And you know what I love? I love that the grandmother in the show
only
speak Spanish.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's really cool.
And that's why I loved it from episode one. I mean, the plot is totally, again, like an Almodóvar movie, but she wouldn't speak English at all. It's always Spanish, and they put the little subtitles. I'm like, this is awesome.
That's cool.
And then they have Mexican actors like Jaime Camil, which he's sobreactúa, like super exagerado, you know?
Sí.
But again, that's the point of the show. So I watched the first season. The second season, it's a little hard to get into.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that we have something like that, and it's on Netflix for you to watch.
Cool. What else is on Netflix that you watch?
I don't think it's there anymore, but my favorite gay movie of all time, it's a Peruvian movie. It's called Undertow. Or Contracorriente.
Contracorriente.
Oh, man.
I think that's one of those movies that I'm talking about with this the lady is, in the middle.
Yes, the cover. But yeah. It's so much more than okay. that, you know? So the whole movie, I'm like, I hate this movie. I hate this movie. I hate this movie. I hate this movie. And then the last 2 minutes, boom, it destroys everything.
Really?
It just kills you. It fucking kills you. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Look it up. Ooh. It's a amazing, amazing, beautiful film from Peru. I think it came out in 2000. Yes, it came out in 2000. It came out in 2010, November of 2010. Oh, cool. And it didn't do very well, yeah. But it's, again, it's one of those things that you sit down and you start watching one film and then you watch another gay film and then you watch another gay film. And we came across this one. And
yeah,
it's still to today one of our, at least mine, is my favorite gay film of all time.
You know what else is on Netflix?
Que payasa.
Tangerine. Have you seen Tangerine?
No. What is
bitch,
it?
Bitch, get your life together.
What is
you
it?
You haven't seen Tangerine?
No.
Tangerine is a movie filmed in Hollywood, and it follows around these trans prostitutes, and it was all filmed.
That's all you have to say. I'm in.
In it to win it, baby.
Oh.
And I think they're all like real people from Los Angeles. Like they didn't. I don't think. Maybe like the cab driver is an actor in the movie, but most of the people are actually from the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was all filmed in an iPhone 5.
Dios mío.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
La tecnología.
It's great. It's a great movie. Tangerine. I recommend it if you haven't seen it. Did you see? I'm just going to keep going. Did you see the 13th, the documentary?
Uh-uh.
You what have to it? Be prepared. It's about the 13th Amendment.
Uh-huh.
You haven't heard about this?
No.
Oh, it just came out on Netflix and...
somebody was talking about it in some podcast. I forgot. Was it us? Mm-hmm. Was it Tamarindo?
Well, it's Ava DuVernay did this documentary. So It's a documentary about the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets into it like... Okay, so slavery was abolished.
In the Thick, sorry.
In the Thick was talking, the podcast, yeah. It was abolished, but then slavery turned into different forms, like the United States prison system.
Yes.
So it really gets into that, and it's chilling to watch this.
Fuck.
Like, you have to be prepared. Like, it fucked me up. And my brother, Brandon, is really into documentaries, mm-hmm. and he texted me like, bro, what the fuck did you do to me, man? I'm, like, I'm sorry, dude, but I don't like saying the word refreshing so much because it sounds like we're fucking ladies who lunch, which we are, but wow, this lemonade is fresh, but
fresh.
A documentary done from the POC perspective, which is
refresh,
which is amazing, which is great, which is what we need.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all we're taught is white history. So this is cool to see a documentary made from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And it gets into it. So it starts, it goes through it, and it even shows clips of the current candidates, you know, dog whistling and talking about certain things that enforce racism and enforce the prison system. And
don't fucking get me started with that shit.
Ooh, it's a lot. But I definitely recommend it. If you're one of those people that's like, I don't see color. We live in a post-racial society. Obama.
Post means huevos. There's nothing post.
Watch this documentary. And if your mind isn't at least, you know, not changed, but at least altered a little bit. There's something wrong with you. Like maybe... I'm not gonna say this.
Can I say this? I'm already tired of the next 8 years, and they haven't even fucking started. I'm over it.
Lord.
I know I need to save it, but
by the time this airs, we'll have a new president.
Yeah, and I already know what's gonna happen. Like, it's so fucking predictable. It's so annoying. We voted last week, right?
Yeah,
and we both were so enthusiastic, like excited.
Yeah,
estoy muy muy excited. But fuck, like. It went from that to the third day after hearing all the bullshit that one of our candidates put with pull in to the protesters in Brooklyn for the access pipeline. I was like, shit, I wasted my vote and nothing's going to change.
Nobody's standing. Well, I saw Jesse Jackson was there yesterday or something, mm-hmm. but like nobody is like standing withstanding Rock.
It's like, crazy what's happening. I saw footage of 6-7 minutes. It was so violent. It was, it's like seeing thing. It's seeing things of the conquest from like 1492, 1519 in Mexico. It's just, it is absolutely bananas what's fucking happening. And and we see it every day on the news and nothing changes. And the fact that we have this perfect opportunity for one of the candidates, whoever is going to win, whoever we have now, not really go and support, that really goes to show you that the priorities of this fucking country are fucked.
Why? Because probably whatever money. Gas company is putting
corporations, because corporations rule. I'm really, over it.
Yeah. Pero qué, what are we doing? Aquí estamos abriendo la boca. Like,
well, yeah.
At least I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we could be down there.
Totally.
If we really
completely,
cared.
Completely.
I mean.
Ay. La sopa está muy caliente, güey. I know.
Well, let's take a little commercial break, shall we? El Porvenir Mini Market. Los mejores precios con El Paisa. Come to El Porvenir Mini Market, where you can find beer, chips, phone cards, shirts, bongs, whatever you need. Bye. That was the worst commercial. I don't know.
Let me see my song.
He didn't give me any text. Okay, whatever. Bongs.
And we're back.
Hi.
What's up?
Oh, my God. Well, that was fun. I love I love love. Love is love
gays.
Is love. Homosexual hairdos. We gave so many recommendations, but I still want to do our recommendation section because why... Hashtag Shine Theory, shout out, call your girlfriend. Like, we gotta, you know, we gotta spread the love, baby.
Yes.
Spread it like peanut, 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 peanut butter.
Peanut butter, peanut butter.
So, what's your recommendation this week?
Hey, so, since we talked about Julieta Venegas, I want to recommend her last album, Algo Sucede. It is a beautifully, perfectly crafted pop album. You know, Julieta Venegas is like being woke. First, you listen, right? Like the first albums, like you listen, you pay attention. And then it becomes so complicated and complex, then you turn...
Complicated and complex.
Yes, bitch. Dos a la misma vez. It becomes so complicated
DP.
That you turn off and you try to ignore. And then you step away and then you realize that you need to come back. And then you come back to the other albums and you realize how good it is. And now you can really listen with a new perspective. So this new album from the first album, which as a teenager blew my head to like the third
blew
and fourth.
Blew your mind.
But it actually blew my head away. It was crazy. You should have seen it. And anyway, so from those albums to... Today, it's just like a completely different artist. And now I can listen to them and pay attention in a different way. And it's just beautiful. Algo Sucede. Listen to Julieta Venegas. Don't dismiss her. She's the fucking baddest pop singer in Mexican history.
Julieta, Doña Julia.
Doña Julia.
It was really...
Más respeto, cabrón.
No, you know what? You're right. Because after I met her, after I saw her perform... Much, much respect.
Yeah, she plays everything.
And
la
that energy. And she, oh my God, la acordeón, the piano, the guitar, los timbales, whatever she had up there. But it was... she was like, I was like, damn, girl. No.
And the tribute to Juan Gabriel.
That was so nice.
Yeah, it was good.
That was nice. So, but no, for real, she was cool.
What is your recommendation, Fabi?
I'm going to, you know what? La lista. I'm just going to name... This is going to be fun for you when you do the links for the website. But I want to give shout-outs to all these amazing podcasts that I love and that I listen to. Talking to Brenda Gonzalez from Tamarindo Podcast, because she's also a podcast freak. We really got into it, and it made me think, like, podcasts are a big part of my life. And, you know, I have a lot of really amazing friends, but I find myself long hours in the studio by myself, and it gets lonely, and to be honest, like a lot of, I consider a lot of these podcasters my friends because I've listen to them for years, for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And so if you're new to Latinos Who Lunch and you really aren't, you haven't really, you know, jumped into podcasting, I'm going to list a bunch of stuff and why it's important to me. I'm going to try to do it in like a couple minutes. But the first podcast I really got into was WTF with Marc Maron, the What the Fuck podcast. Yes, it's like very...
white.
It's very white. It's very male, like, yeah, man, I play the blues, whatever. But his interviews are amazing sometimes, and he really gets into it and is very vulnerable, which I really love. That's the first time I ever heard anything like that, like him kind of working his problems out on the air, right?
Yeah.
A very special moment that really got me was when Todd Glass, the comedian, came out on WTF, like, and he's like 50 years old, and it was really hard for him. And it was a beautiful moment. So Google it, locas. The Long Shot podcast. It's all these comedians in LA. They have just for like 5 years now, I've listened to them religiously, and I love them so much. There's now a half Latino on the show, so shout out to Joe Wagner on the show. But Amber Kenny, Jamie Flam, and Sean Conroy, I've been listening to The Long Shot forever. Now to jumping into Latino podcasts. Latino USA was, of course, the first one that I heard, and then that one's amazing. At Alt Latino, if you haven't listened to Alt.Latino, beautiful podcast. Yes. Shout out to Alt Latino. Mm-hmm. And of course, Radio Ambulante is really great.
I always forget about Radio Ambulante.
So never forget. So yeah, it's a really good podcast. sorry. and then I'm just gonna. There's a lot of great hashtag support Brown podcast. Hashtag
Latinos Who Podcast.
Latinos Who Podcast. Hashtag Pods in color. Shout out to all my Black podcasts out there. The Ooh. Read. Another Round. The Friend Zone, Jaden XD, Black Guy Who Tips,
For Colored Nerds.
For Colored Nerds. Oh my God, For Colored Nerds. Black wow. Girls Talking, so many others. Call Your Girlfriend. And then even my white podcasts out there, Rana and Beverly, I love you guys. Throwing Shade is another one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Latino podcast, right? Fiesta Fun, Morado Lens is amazing. Project Enye.
Da Americana.
Da Americanas.
Choices and Chismes.
Choices and Chismes.
That's the best intro song.
And, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss some. Bodega Boys. There's so many podcasts that I listen to.
Super Mamas.
Well, duh. Hello. Avi. And so many much more. So get into it. If you find a podcast with people of color that you really love, please hashtag it Support Brown Podcast or Pods in Color or Latinos Who Podcast so that we can all find them. Radio Menea, of course.
Of course.
La Verdad Podcast. First and Felony, What's Up Fool, Chicano Cast. There's so many amazing podcasts out there.
And remind everybody about our website and how.
Yeah, if I kind of have curated a list on our website of the podcasts that I listen to. So under our social at latinoswholunch.com, go under our social section, and you can see there Support Brown Podcasts. And the list of our friends or whatever, or of some of our favorite podcasts. Because if we're missing any, I'm already thinking of a bunch, like Latino Rebels, Raised Latino Podcast. There's so many amazing ones out there that we've missed. Like, please let us know because we want to hear them all.
And they're all on the website. So you just have to go to our website and click because there's the whole entire list right there. And also don't forget to email us. We want to hear from you guys. We've gotten a couple of emails of people telling us, oh, why don't you guys talk about this? Or why don't you guys talk about that? And we love it so much.
We had a blast doing our
11th.
Our listener letter episode. So please email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com or send it through the website at latinoswholunch.com or send us a message on Twitter or Instagram. We're really active on those two social media platforms also. So yeah, and remember, it's very important to go on iTunes, rate us five stars. 5 stars only.
Only.
And then subscribe. And then take your grandma's phone and subscribe it. Take your auntie's phone, subscribe it.
That's what I...
A ver su teléfono.
That's exactly what I do in Juarez.
Yes.
I'm like, a ver, güey, préstame tu teléfono. What are you doing? Tú préstamelo.
Yes. Yes. So please subscribe to Latinos Who Lunch. And we are just... I just have to say, like, I've been thinking about what this podcast means to me. I just gave a little, like, mini lecture yesterday at UNLV, and it was the first time that I really made the connection. Like, this is really, this show and just connecting with all these different podcasters is really connecting me to this community in a way that I never thought before.
Yeah, I didn't expect it
like,
either.
I'm so much, if it's even possible, I'm so much more proud of being a Latino and learning more and more about my people and my history. And it's just making me grow as an artist and I think just as a person. So
expanding the dialogue too.
Yes.
And to see so many FUBU podcasts, right? Like yeah. For us and by us, creating a space that is for us. That is... so important, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. What are you doing out there with this Latino podcast? Because it's becoming a little movement, and I'm very excited about it. This is for us, and keep going, because spaces curated specifically for us by us are very rare,
and remember,
and they're going to continue to be rare, so protect them no matter what.
And remember, people are going to challenge what you're saying and ask you to explain yourself maybe sometimes.
And you owe nobody an explanation.
Say whatever the fuck you want. And on that note, I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we're Latinos Who Lunch. Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.